Now after we had passed the rocks of Dire Charybdis and of Scylla, straight we drew near the pleasant island of the god. Here were the goodly broad-browed kine and the many sturdy flocks of the exalted sun. While still at sea, on the black ship, I heard the lowing of stalled cattle and the bleat of sheep. And on my mind fell the words of the blind prophet Tiresias of Thebes and of Achaean Circe, who very strictly charged me to shun the island of the sun, the cheerer of mankind. So to my men, with aching heart, I said, "My suffering comrades, hearken to my words, that I may tell you of the warnings of Tiresias and Aeaean Circe, who very strictly charged me to shun the island of the sun, the cheerer of mankind, for there our deadliest danger lay," she said. "Then past the island, speed the black ship on her way." As I spoke thus, their very souls were crushed within them, and instantly Eurylochus, with surly words, made answer, "Headstrong are you, Odysseus. More than man's is your mettle, and your limbs never tire. And yet you must be made of nothing less than iron, not to allow your comrades, worn with fatigue and sleep, to land, though on this sea-girt island we might make once more a savory supper. Instead, just as we are, night falling fast, you bid us journey on and wander from the island over the misty deep. But in the night, rough winds arise, fatal to vessels, and how could anyone escape from utter ruin if by some chance a sudden storm of wind should come, the south wind or the blustering west, which wreck ships oftentimes, heedless of sovereign gods? No, let us now obey the dark knight's bidding. Let us prepare our supper and rest by the black ship. Tomorrow morning we will embark and sail the open sea." So spoke Eurylochus. The rest assented. And then I knew some god intended ill, and speaking in winged words I said, "Eurylochus, plainly you force me, since I am only one. But come, all swear me now a solemn oath, that if we find a herd of cattle or a great flock of sheep, none in mad willfulness will slay a cow or sheep, but be content and eat the food immortal Circe gave." So I spoke, and they then took the oath which I required. And after they had sworn and ended all their oath, we moored our staunch ship in the rounded harbor near a fresh stream, and my companions left the ship and busily got supper. But after they had stayed desire for drink and food, then calling to remembrance their dear comrades, they wept for those whom Scylla ate, those whom she snatched from out the hollow ship. And as they wept, on them there came a pleasant sleep. Now when it was the third watch of the night, and the stars crossed the zenith, cloud-gathering Zeus sent forth a furious wind in a fierce tempest, and covered with his clouds both land and sea, night broke from the heaven. And when the early rosy-fingered dawn appeared, we beached our ship, hauling her up into a hollow cave where there were pretty dancing grounds and haunts for nymphs. Then, holding a council, I said to all my men, "Friends, there is food and drink enough on the swift ship. Let us then spare the kine, for fear we come to harm, for these are the herds and sturdy flocks of a dread god, the sun, who all things oversees, all overhears.